and welcome to the Sportscast, May 9th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe at all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net. The Boston Celtics have been eliminated by the Milwaukee Bucks 4-1. A terrible performance by the Celtics. What's going to happen to Kyrie? Will he go to the New York Knicks, as rumored to be? To join us to talk to us about the NBA playoffs and the Celtics is Ryan Krista. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, it's good to be here. Middle of a great month of NBA basketball here. We kind of got what we wanted here, the top four teams in the Eastern Conference playing each other in the semifinals. I was definitely surprised by the lack of effort from the Celtics this playoff, this round especially. Especially after that first game performance, I thought they might at least take the Bucks in 6 or 7 games, but the last week has not been the best week for the Celtics.
What happened with the Celtics? Is it Kyrie Irving? Is Kyrie Irving not the superstar, not the go-to guy like a Steph Curry? What's his deal?
He definitely didn't play like it this last four games. I mean, he shot a terrible percentage. He looked like he didn't care. Just didn't show that leadership, that kind of I want the ball, I'm going to make the shot kind of that you get from LeBron or Kevin Durant, you know, or James Harden.
Yeah, of course, there are rumors that Kyrie might go to New York. I mean, how valid are those rumors?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
There are rumors that Kyrie might be going to the New York Knicks or just leaving the Celtics. In general, what do you think
will happen? I think he's definitely leaving the Celtics. You know, I think as you walk off the court, you can kind of see that he was done, you know. It was, you know, an experiment. It really didn't work out. I just think there wasn't much team chemistry. There's so much expectation to the Celtics this year, and it just never really panned out.
Yeah.
But where he goes, I'm not quite sure. You know, I think he's heading to the Big Apple, whether it be the Knicks or the Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets. He wants to go to New York, pretty much.
I think so. I think he, you know, he sees the money that's there in the sense of endorsement. Neither team, you know, right now the Nets have D'Angelo Russell, who's a free agent, who also, I mean, they're looking to sign, but again, the Nets. But that'd be a nice 1-2 combination if it all works out between Kyrie and D'Angelo Russell. And then you look at the Knicks, and they're just dying for some star to come there. And there's talks, you know, if Kyrie comes, I might lure Kevin Durant to come, or vice versa.
Yeah, which I've been hearing those rumors, Kevin Durant and Kyrie, you know, pairing up and maybe possibly bringing Zion if they draft him.
Yeah, I was, you know, it's interesting because of the timing of the free agency. They'll know who's going to be on who the next draft, because the draft is late June. Well, free agency doesn't start until July 1st. I think that's going to be a big impact to see who the Knicks get in the draft.
Last night's game, the Celtics, Kyrie had 15 points. He was the highest scorer. Then you had Marcus Morris Sr. had 14. Jaylen Brown had 12. Jason Tatum had 14. Let's not take away the glory of the Bucks. Giannis had 20 points. Nikola Mirosic had 10 points. Chris Middleton had 19. Eric Bledsoe had 18. Ersan Ilyasova had 10. George Hill had 16. And Malcolm Brogdon had 10. How do you see this Milwaukee Bucks team? I mean, you think they like to improve a lot of people with this series. Do you think they potentially could go to the finals?
Absolutely. Santiago, this is the deepest team in the NBA. And they got a star and, you know, the Greek freak in Antetokounmpo. But they also just have so many pieces around them. They can shoot the three at a high percentage. You know, they got, and they're, you know, they're top three offense, the best defense team. When they're engaged, they play great defense. They're long and athletic. So whether they play the Raptors or the Sixers, I definitely think they're going to be the favorite. And I don't think they'll be afraid of whoever they play in the West. Most likely the Warriors, but you never know.
Speaking about the Warriors, last night the Warriors defeated the Rockets 104-99. Great win by the Warriors. But the biggest setback was Kevin Durant suffering a calf injury. He's supposedly getting an MRA. So, how significant is this?
I mean, this afternoon, the biggest news that's going to affect the NBA playoffs, I mean, what's the status of Kevin Durant? This is eerie similar to last year, Santiago. Remember, after Game 5, the Rockets went up 3-2 against the Warriors, and Chris Paul injured his hamstring and wasn't able to play the next two games, but the Warriors won. Could this be eerily similar, where the Warriors go 3-2, but they lose Kevin Durant in the process? Because he's definitely not playing the next game, and I highly doubt he's going to play in either of the next two games. And the status is kind of unclear for beyond that, even if it's just calf strain, which is very hard to come to recover from quickly.
But even with without Durant, do you think the Splash Brothers is enough to push the edge over the Rockets and maybe go to the finals?
Oh, they should be. I mean, they're still extremely talented. And they won championships without Kevin Durant. So, you know, obvious answer is yes, they could. But, you know, they rely so much now on Kevin Durant. If you watch them play, you know, when they need a big shot, that's who you go to. It was kind of a big deal to kind of finish that game off without him last night. But still, push comes to shove, they definitely rely on Kevin Durant this playoff and the season.
Which I would like. I mean, I always liked the Warriors without Durant. I've always been a fan. I don't think they really needed him. They could have gotten to the finals without him. They could have won without him. Obviously, they got him because they wanted to have a better matchup against LeBron in the finals against Cleveland.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and I can't say no when that's the second best player in the NBA wants to join you, and probably the best scorer we have in the NBA. You know. I mean, this kind of still amazes me. You know, you got the best shooter in the NBA, the top two shooters in the NBA, and you got the best scorer. You know, I mean, it's crazy to think that team ever loses a game.
Well, we'll see what happens. The series is up 3-2. The Rockets are.
You know, just to kind of close out this, you know, talk, I definitely, if Kevin Durant isn't going to play, I think, you know, the Rockets, I think they got it. You know, I think this is the most vulnerable the Rockets and Warriors have been since they've been in the last 3 or 4 years. So,
which this probably is the best series outside of the finals.
Yeah, I mean, this is the best series we've had in the playoffs so far. Most competitive. You know, every game has gone down to the wire. Every game is competitive. They're extremely, you know, the Rockets, I think, have changed the way they play them. I think Mike D'Antoni is an underrated coach right now. I think he had this stigma when he first came in the NBA. You know, he kind of changed the way the NBA has played. You know, fast pace, shoot a lot of three-pointers. And that's what pretty much everybody else does in the NBA. But if you watch the Rockets, they're very slow. They're deliberate. They kind of do it the opposite way. Once Mike D'Antoni first developed, you know, that's because he knows what type of players he has in Chris Paul and James Harden and how to get the most out of them.
Of course, the Rockets, for tomorrow, they have a chance to tie up the series. Tomorrow is Game 6, Friday, 9 p.m. is a Western Conference game, and hopefully we'll see what happens with the Rockets. This is their time to tie it up. If it comes out to a 7-game series, it definitely would be a must-watch Game 7. I think the whole country would like to see it, which it could be. If there is a Game 7, it will be on Sunday, so you just can't beat the ratings for those. Let's go to college football. Surprisingly, Florida freshman cornerback Chris Steele, a former top 50 prospect, will transfer from the Gators. Florida's top signee from its most recent recruiting class is bailing on the Gators after just 5 months on campus. Four-star cornerback Chris Steele, the number 42nd overall player in the class of 2019 and prize prospect head coach Dan Mullen, has entered the NCAA transfer portal. And will leave the program, a source confirmed to CBS Sports. What are your thoughts about that, and how big ramification is this for the Gators?
It's not a good look, you know, from the outside. You know, there's stories that, you know, last week we also lost another quarterback, Gators lost a quarterback recruit, Jalen Jones. You know, put himself in a transfer portal after, you know, later finding out that he was accused of assaulting a female in his dorm. Sources say that Chris Teal was aware, you know, that the trouble that Jones was getting into and just didn't like being around it and wasn't thinking that people are being held accountable, and that's why he went out. You know, whether it's true or not, you know, that's what you're hearing from the outside. Whether it is or not, you know, this is the best player they signed. You know, a player they were going to depend on this year, but most importantly for the next 2 years, you know. Right now they have pretty good depth that they can keep this unit together in the secondary, because they have C.J. Henderson and Marco Wilson, who are, in all regards, top, you know, top NFL top prospects for the cornerback position for next year. So we'll be okay for this year, but, you know, they're going to definitely have to fill that need in this next recruiting cycle. But in the public eye, this is not a good look for Dan Mullen. You know, anytime you lose a top recruit and there's bad publicity, you know, this can be used against your recruiting trail, you know, in the future.
The Gainesville Sun reported that the decision to leave was a result of a request that was not honored by the Florida staff. Steele reportedly requested to change dorm rooms shortly after he enrolled because he felt uncomfortable sharing a residence with four-star quarterback signee Jalen Jones. The staff decided not to move him during the spring semester, although they did plan on moving him this summer. So where do you think he'll go? I mean, I've been here in Miami, but, like, what teams do you think would be a good fit, and which teams would want him?
Well, remember, you know, and I don't know if you know, but he's a West Coast kid. So, for, you know, Florida's tried so hard to get to the West Coast, you know, make a recruiting impact. You know, they lost on them a couple guys they really wanted, ended up going to Oregon. But he's, you know, a Southern California guy, you know. I think, you know, he's going to go back to the West Coast, you know. So, but, you know, he may just like Florida. You know, Miami isn't a bad possibility, especially knowing that the first game of the year is against the Gators. So if emotions get into this decision, you know, it could be the Hurricanes, but I'm leaning more either USC or Oregon.
How about UCLA?
It's not a destination right now, Santiago.
I'm just kidding.
Now that, you know, it's hard to believe, you know, Chip Kelly, who changed college football, it's only 10 years ago, you know, comes back, you know, after, I would say, a failed attempt in the NFL. He was just awful last year, Santiago. And I know you can only do what you inherited, but he also didn't do much in recruiting. I know I'm kind of getting off subject here, but I just don't like the future of UCLA right now. But I do think Chip Kelly's still a good college coach. I don't think they're going to be 3-9 this year again, but I didn't see him being higher than 6-6.
Ooh, another bad season. It's a tough situation, UCLA. It's very toxic, and of course, you know, Kingsbury was one of the assistants there, and now he's the coach at Arizona Cardinals. So, of course, you got Kyler Murray. So we'll see what happens with UCLA. Chip Kelly, good fan. He was quite impressive with Oregon, but of course Oregon is in good hands with Mario Cristobal.
We got a long ways before college football season, Santiago. But you know, Oregon put together the best. You know, I mean, Chip Kelly was a good coach and did a lot with what he got. You know, and he looked for certain players. But the talent, overall talent right now at Oregon has never been better than it has been this year. You know, and that, a lot of that talent still raw and young, but they got a great quarterback coming back. I mean, sky's the limit for that team. You know, I don't know if they're a playoff team, but I definitely like them to win the Pac-12.
Yeah, which I think the likelihood is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it really comes down to, you know, the game. They got a game up in Washington, which is the two most talented teams in the Pac-12, so. But, you know, they got a tough start to the season again, going to, I believe, Jerry's World to play Auburn. So
we'll see if Washington is a spoiler for Oregon, but I've always said Oregon was built for 2019. Herbert in his career is definitely on the upswing if he does well. Maybe one of the top two quarterbacks in the draft of next year. And really quick, what you think about the NFL draft this past month?
You know, you you gotta look at, you know, you get prepared for the draft. You can see, you know, who the top prospects are, what teams need. When the draft happens, you know, and we all say, this team did great, this team did bad, you know. Let's just play the play out. You know, like, we're going to my favorite team, the Broncos. I was praying that they didn't use the 10th pick on the quarterback, because when you're 5-11, you've got a lot more holes than just the quarterback, especially when you bring in a veteran quarterback like Joe Flacco, who's going to be a quarterback at least this year. I was happy that, you know, we drafted, you know, what we needed, the tight end. And then we go and draft another neat position, and that's the offensive line. And then we came back and got the same quarterback that you know, they wanted in Drew Lock. So that's a success, you know, whether these players can or not, we'll see. It's a lot of projection what this player could do, but, you know, I pick my name because Haskins, the Redskins, I think, you know, being a local kid, and what the Redskins, that, you know, what the Redskins have, I think this player is going to come in day one and start. And it's going to be interesting to see what the Giants have planned for Daniel Jones. There's no one who has more pressure on them going forward than Daniel Jones, because the Redskins, I mean, the Giants are kind of a lead taking Jones for the 6th pick.
Yeah, quite surprising with Daniel Jones. Of course, we kind of figured, predicted that I'm here in the sportscast that the Giants could go with a quarterback, but we didn't think it was Daniel Jones. It could have been Haskins. What do you think about Haskins' selection going to the Redskins?
Yeah, what I like about him is he's a great thrower of the football. Is he mobile? No. Can he, you know, hey, that's going to affect him? Yeah, and then, you know, but some of the darts he was throwing on target next to him, 60 touchdown passes in the Big Ten, that's quite an accomplishment. So I know he was playing in a kind of a quarterback-friendly system, you know, but still, you know, he can definitely put the ball on target. He's got a strong arm. As long as he gets good protection, I think he's going to have good success, you know. And they got Adrian Peterson back for this year, so I like what the Redskins are going to do. I just think that the missions. I'm not sold on the Eagle. I'm not sold on the Cowboys. I'm not sold on anybody. I don't think there's a good team in that division. So, you know, if Haskins can be an immediate impact, yes, they still have Case Keenum. You know, Haskins is already. I think Haskins will be the quarterback sometime this year, but he may not stay with that. I definitely think that he'll have some sort of immediate impact on the team.
Will Josh Rosen be a immediate impact for the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, as I'm talking to one of South Florida's own Santiago Leon, I want to say Josh Rosen will have an impact, but that team has got a terrible roster, Santiago. I'm sorry.
I've never heard that in a while.
I just don't think they're very good. I think this is a rebuilding project. I feel bad for Josh Rosen. I know they got some decent receivers, so I think he'll put up some good numbers. But talent-wise, I don't know. I'm just not really in love with what I see. So, but
we'll see what happens with the Dolphins. Of course,
I'll just say I think the fourth place team in the division, and that's the division. You know, I think it's, you know, so I think the Bills and Jets will challenge the Patriots. I mean. I don't.
How about the Jets? You think they might challenge the Patriots a little bit?
What did you say?
What about the New York Jets? You think they're able to challenge the New England Patriots?
Yeah, I think, you know, they've seen before. Yeah, and I think Sam Darnold showed enough ability, and honestly, I think he's a good coach, Santiago. I think he got the most out of the Dolphins. Was he the premier coach like Bill Belichick? No, but I think he got a lot out of the Dolphins, and I think they've got a good foundation in the Jets. And same way, I think the Bills have got a great foundation. Two teams of, you know, I think promising young quarterbacks who are on the upswing. I think waiting for Tom Brady to remember that he's 40-plus years old. And I just think the Dolphins and time putting that roster together, you know, new GM, I think with the new point, you know, of looking at Halen, you know, hopefully they give this the coach some time to get things together. Whether, you know, they keep Rosen beyond this year, you know.
But
they go for, you know, with the star quarterbacks coming out next year, you know. But, you know, or they try to, you know, sell for 2 years and get Trevor Lawrence in the first pick next year. Who knows?
Well, the whole plan, it was, you know, the tank for Tua. Do you think either if it's Fitz or if it's Rosen, the Dolphins have enough to tank for Tua?
Oh, sure. The roster is terrible, but I think personally that they could surprise me, though. So we'll see. I just think they're going to come in last place in that division. So.
That's a good sign for us. Anything else before we head into game predictions?
In regards to the NFL draft, like I said, you know, time will tell. You know, I tell anybody, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, and just because we're a team's clerk, you know, let the off season go, let the training camps come, you know, and then kind of judge, you know, as the games start next year, how those picks look. You know, I say it almost takes 10 years for the NFL draft. The NBA playoffs, you know, I look forward to get my hope. I'd be really excited for either the Raptors or Sixers to play the Bucks. I think that'd be a great series. And the rest of them, you know, I'm really cheering for the Rockets to beat the Warriors. If that happens, there's a good chance Kevin Durant may never play again for the Warriors if he does. If he does miss out of this series.
You really think the Rockets? Well, we'll see what happens. I think tomorrow night, I really do think the Warriors are okay without Durant, but some people say I'm wrong, but I really do think.
For our brother on the West Coast, let's hope that the Rip City Blazers at least force a game seven.
Which is the next, which in game predictions, we're going to talk about that. Denver at Portland. Who do you have tonight?
I'm going to go to Portland. I kind of got embarrassed the other night in Denver, and I basically know when the team is back against the wall at home, usually ends up winning and forcing a game seven. I think that's what's going to happen. The Nuggets are an extremely young team. Average age of 24 years old. So don't look for them to, you know, have that composure and that killer instinct tonight. And if you're going against a veteran team with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and I just think the play, you know, I think the Nuggets have great depth on their team and play so well together. It's going to be hard to pick against them in game seven if it's home. But tonight I definitely want to go with the Blazers.
Can you break down this Denver team? Like, I am not convinced with them yet. I mean, obviously, yes, they beat the Spurs, but all they have is Jokic. And Jokic is not the typical go-to guy. He's more of a passer, get the ball, give it to someone. But can you break down Denver? I mean, I'm having a hard time to believe they can go deep.
You know, I would have said the same thing to you about a week and a half ago in Santiago. I would be lying to you if I said I watched a lot of Denver Nuggets games. You know, I watched, you know, stats. You know, I watched up here, clip there. You know, I don't think I watched the whole Denver Nuggets game during the regular season. Because they're just not on a lot. Because they're not one of the teams, you know, that's always going to be on TV. But at the same time, man, I am so impressed with that team. You know, Jokic is as advertised, you know. He's basically a 7-foot point guard out there, Santiago. He can score, he can pass, he can shoot the three ball. You know, and Jamal Murray is as advertised too. You know, those two have such great combination and with each other, and then they just got, you know, they defend well. Gary Harris is probably one of the best two-way players in the sense that he's a great defender and can score the ball. And, you know, Paul Millsap, just a veteran presence on that team. I've been so impressed with that team. You know, when they lock down defensively, you know, in a couple of games, they've made a big moment willing to get to the basket, you know. And then as the Blazers go, is how Damian Lillard goes. There goes the Blazers.
Yeah, so obviously the Nuggets are up 3-2, but you're saying the Blazers will pull us off. But, wow, it's going to be tough.
You know, I mean, you know, the most, you know, impressive game I've seen. You know, 78 after a 4 overtime defeat. You know, the Nuggets came in, you know, what you would think to be a young team after a devastating loss like that, and kind of lay an egg, you know, and if they go down 3-1, the series is pretty much over. And they responded, you know, and clutch shot after clutch shot, even by ex-Blazer Will Barton, kind of feeling the deal back-to-back 3-pointers in the fourth quarter. This team just stands beyond their years, you know. But I just think that, you know, the window for the Blazers could be closing, you know, maybe if they don't get this, you know, victory here tonight.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I am looking at Denver. Obviously, if they make it the Western Conference Finals, then they're definitely worth true number two in the Western Conference. Let's go into the Eastern Conference. Another interesting series. Toronto's up 3-2 against Philadelphia. Obviously, I thought at one point Philadelphia was going to win this series, but then Toronto and Kawhi Leonard is – now people are comparing him, you know, like with Kobe. So how do you see this series going?
This series is interesting. You know, game one, the Raptors absolutely destroy the Sixers at home. And then you're thinking, oh, man, the Raptors are going to roll. But there comes the Sixers, game two, come out and they, you know, handily beat the Raptors on the road, and then they destroy them. And you're thinking, oh, okay, you know, maybe it's going to be the Sixers. And there comes the last two games, you know, the Raptors won game four on the road in a close game, and then they go absolutely destroy this, you know, the Sixers the other night. But, you know, with the Sixers now with the back against the wall at home, you know, that same thing, that game six at home, usually have that killer instinct, you know, do the Raptors bring it tonight to try to close them out? But I'm going to go with the Sixers tonight. I'm going to go with the home team in both game sixes.
So you're going to Sixers games, yeah, going to the seven games.
I'll probably just like game seven, so I want to cheer for game seven.
Yeah, I agree. I think game sevens are always good for the ratings, good for
the
game.
You know, just kind of to add to this, you know, I think Kawhi Leonard is playing so good right now. Such a go-to player for the Raptors. Kind of really putting that team on the back, you know.
No, back to the Sixers.
This is what the Raptors wanted, you know. They were, they had, you know, a good team, you know, but they could never get over the hump with Lowry and DeRozan. Now you go and bring in Leonard, and now you've got this other guy, you know, Pascal Siakam, who's becoming their other go-to player. You know, this guy out of nowhere. Then you got veteran players. You still have Lowry, you still have Gasol. And if this team makes it to the finals, they're going to be a tough out. And I think if they make it to the finals, that just may be enough to get Kawhi to sign that long-term contract that they're hoping for. That was a bit, you know, the biggest risk of the offseason is bringing in Kawhi, knowing that he didn't want to come there to San Diego. He did not want to be there. That wasn't a team that he wanted to go to. And pretty much said, you know, I'm coming here just for 1 year. You know, I'll do my best, but I'm not, you know, things that you read and whether they're true or not. I think he's kind of enjoying his time. Enjoy the training, you know, training staff, you know, how well they've taken care of him and that they're not overloading him with the minutes this year and kind of preserving him, which, he appreciates whether that's, you know, when push comes to shove in July and, you know, when the Lakers come home, you know, you get a face-to-face meeting with LeBron, is that going to be enough, you know? You know, is he going to remember all the good things they have? You know, so how does this series then can impact, you know, the future of, you know, the Raptors?
Yeah, definitely. Kawhi is definitely bringing a big difference between him and DeRozan. I think he's that key player they needed to push him on the edge because, you know, Toronto were big chokers these past couple of years, and they could be at the cusp of going to the Eastern Conference Finals. Of course, you know, back to the Sixers. I mean, they say this team was, you know, the team of the future, but do you think they just lack maturity?
Yeah, sometimes they're just puzzling, you know. And I don't know if this is a team of the future, San Diego. You gotta remember, Butler and Harris are free agents. Probably not. Well, you're not going to keep both of them. Embiid is kind of a, you know, he's a great player, but he's kind of, you know, lacks leadership and maturity at times. And same thing with Ben Simmons, you know. It's hard to, you know, I think they're always going to be good as long as they can, you know, get the most out of Simmons and Embiid. but, you know, is this team of the future? I don't know. There might be a team that always just tries to add pieces, you know, during, you know, the trade, you know. But, you know, they have some room. They'll probably make it. They basically got to decide, I think, between both of them, you know, because they can't offer them both max contracts. Because you want to be able to keep money in, you know, because you're going to want to give Embiid a big contract here, so, too. In the future.
That's correct. I mean, he's supposed to be the like the franchise player, you know, and obviously
Embiid is the guy, you know, you're gonna build a team around. Exactly. Oh yeah, like I said, it's just
exactly
the guy you really want to build a team around, you have no choice because you got to. But
yeah, I mean those type of players don't come around as much.
About his maturity level.
Yeah, but you know, he's still in his early 20s. Early to mid 20s, so
yeah, he's a young kid, you know, I mean and they kind of took a chance on him knowing his injury history at Kansas, you know, when he was in college. And they didn't get his first year, but when he, you know, last couple years, he's came on strong and kind of put this franchise on his back. But, you know, they struggled for a long time, you know, and they missed on somebody to fix them. Do you remember that this time Markel Fultz, they traded him to Orlando, who doesn't even play. New Orleans Noel, I mean, is a bench player for the Thunder right now. The most of the two players that pick aren't even on the roster anymore.
Well, there you have it. There, Ryan is going for Philadelphia tonight, and he's going for Portland, so make it a Game 7 classic that will probably be played this weekend. Really happy about the NBA playoffs. I mean, these semifinals have been one of the best I've seen in a while. They're really close, really
tight. Yeah, you know, that's what we all thought. That's at the beginning, you know. We knew the four best teams in the Eastern Conference, and they both all won their first round series. So it set up, you know, match if we want. And, you know, the cream rises to the top. The Bucks are the best, you know, same deal. So we can talk about the Raptors and Sixers, but whoever plays against is going to be an underdog against, you know, the Milwaukee right now. Just the way that
you said
playing,
it was probably Golden State.
Well, in the Eastern Conference, in the Eastern. But in the Western Conference, you know, when if you got Golden State and this come out of the West, and you got Golden State and Milwaukee, I mean that'd be a, you know, a lot of star power in the court, you know, and it'd be entertaining conference for sure. But at the same time, I'm, you know, I'm ready for something on San Diego. I'm ready for, you know, the Milwaukee. I'm kind of a James Harden guy, I guess you could say.
We'll see if Houston can relive the mid 90 days. Of Hakeem Olajuwon, and of
but
course,
I tell you what the NBA is not cheering for would be a Nuggets Raptors final. That would be a great event.
That would be quite interesting. Hopefully, there'd be something different this year.
Nuggets is probably a rating disaster for the NBA, but I'm not saying that teams the Nuggets don't deserve it. It's always good to hear you.
Well, Ryan, we're coming towards the end of the show. Random question: who is your favorite Toy Story character? Woody, Rex, Buzz, or Mr. Potato Head? The wind. Couldn't hear you because of the wind.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, who's your favorite Toy Story character? Woody, Rex, Buzz, or Mr. Potato Head?
Oh, it's got to be Woody. Yeah, you can ask my wife. I think Buzz Lightyear. Children, at least Toy Story 1 for sure.
Well, there you have it, Ryan. How can people reach you to talk to you about the Rockets?
Probably, you know, Mad Dog Report, you know, sometimes on a sportscast Twitter, but, you know, loving these NBA playoffs just like you, and exciting to see, you know, what, you know, the next month holds, you know. As we get towards the end of May, you know, baseball is heating up, so, you know, my Red Sox are starting to actually win a couple of games here, and then they're going to be champions. Actually, looking forward to that. You know, what do you think about, you know, some of the Red Sox players not going to the White House?
Yeah, there's 15 of them. I think they should just respect the office and go, but, you know, obviously, each to its own. Not everyone goes,
yeah,
not even Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think it's not a distraction, you know, like, people got their own views, you know, and yes, you should respect the office, but, you know, yeah, but it is interesting, you know, times are changing.
Yeah, but wait, it's 15 out of what's the total? Like, how many? Like, how many players are in a team? Typically.
Did you you say how many players are going?
No, I mean, how many players are in a team, in a baseball team? Is it 30 players?
28.
28, okay. Yeah. Wow, so only half of them. Hey, it's better than nothing, you know?
So, yeah, your emphasis is better than that, turning down the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's what it is. Anyways.
Yeah, but, you know, that's life in the 21st century, San Diego.
Yeah, it's a different time. Yeah, this is the Sportscast. Follow us at the Sportscast 1 for any updates, college football, NBA. And who you got between Liverpool and Tottenham? Who do you think is going to win?
What was that one more time?
Who do you think is going to win between Tottenham versus Liverpool?
Oh, yeah. What a surprising Champions League matchup there. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I think that's your team, right, Santiago?
That is my team, and I think they're heavily favorited. But, you know, I'm pretty happy that it's an English final, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, big Harry Kane fan, but I'll go with Liverpool for you.
Well, anyways, Ryan Krista, I appreciate you coming to the Sportscast. Visit us at thesportscast.net, and NBA is just this whole month. There's nothing else. NFL mini camps and Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell not showing up, but it's voluntary. You know, it's like he doesn't have to, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully everybody shows up to the camps now when you got mandatory what's happening up here at the future. But like I said, we always got the NBA that keep us going.
All right, guys. Brian, stay healthy. Thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
All right, thank you, San Diego. I love you guys. Bye-bye.